This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Extra Point with knowledgeable analysts and exclusive special guests. It's your look at the world of sports through the eyes of Place to Be Nation. And now your hosts, Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, George Ribolino.
Place to Be Nation, we have reached the Baker's Dozen.
Sounds like a WCW pay-per-view.
That's the road that brings you the Baker's Dozen, baby.
Welcome to the newest edition of your home for sports talk, Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. We are in the fortnight of fall. And for people like me, who stopped caring about the baseball season about 2.5 months ago, we are chomping at the bit because it is time to talk pigskin. And tonight is our official Place to Be Nation's Extra Point 2014 NFL preview. We are, at the moment, about a week and a half away from week one. In fact, a week from tonight, as we're recording, the Seahawks and Packers, I believe it is, will collide at CenturyLink Field out in Seattle. Of course, the tradition, the defending world champions start the season, and then next Sunday, we begin week one in earnest. But before we dive in, of course, let me bring in my partner, who's already thrown his NFL season in the stinker and is ready for Nets basketball, the doctor, Dr. G, George Ribolino.
Well, you know, I'm starting to learn that, you know, I don't know what a Mets fan feels like these days. Cause
what, giving up?
My Yankees suck. My Giants are going to suck. The Nets are going to suck. It's the Devils. My Devils are going to probably suck as well. So
the UNH Chargers are not going to suck, though.
So it's going to be a long sports year. But I'm excited about talking about the NFL season because, you know, one thing about NFL, it's one day a week. You know, I guess more than that, maybe 2 or 3 days a week. But you know what I mean? If you're watching your team, it's one day a week. And, you know, you kind of get juiced up. And everybody starts out with the same record. So you just never know in this in the NFL. Listen, I'm a Giants fan. My team won 2 Super Bowls that weren't expected. So just never know. Do I think they're going to win one this year? Most likely not, but right. You never know.
Well, we'll dive in. And will the Seahawks repeat? It's not easy to do that in this modern NFL. I think there's a lot of parity. But before we talk about the nuts and bolts, it is an honor and a privilege to officially announce this gentleman as the Place to Be Nation's Extra Point NFL analyst. He will be in the same office with the same cubicles with Joel Barnhart, who is our official Major League Baseball analyst. This guy is a Place to Be Nation veteran. He used to do the NFL previews with Mr. Rosero and I in the Place to Be podcast. And listen to this, Dr. G. In the span of one calendar year, this guy was in Chicago to watch Steve Austin pass out with blood on his face. He was at the Meadowlands to watch Steve Austin almost get his neck broken. And he was in Montreal for that other thing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a privilege to bring back to the airwaves Mr. Kyle Forchetti.
You know, it's a long time coming. I guess it's had to be a year right now, you know, going into 2013 season. So it is so cool to be back. And this is just an exciting time of year. And it's so good to be on with you guys. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, we used to do so many we did previews on the Place to Be podcast. And I mean, it's amazing how many vintage vaults you were on. I mean, you're the only guy, I believe, next to maybe Graham Coffin. You were the only guy that was ever on more than one vault in a calendar year. In fact, I just listened to the Survivor Series 97 vault about a week ago. And you were talking about the flight and your mom, and you guys used to have that cool bus trip you used to do, and the infamous hotel conversation you heard from, what was it, Sean and Triple H? Is that what it was? Or Sean and Brett? What was it again? Remember you?
Yeah.
But you walked in on a weird, what could be a historic backdoor conversation.
Right. Yeah. If Sean and Vince were just, you know, nonchalantly walking upstairs by the hotel gym that they were staying in, and there was definitely some sort of meeting going down. And,
yeah.
You know,
what do you think of that, Dr. G?
That's pretty cool.
You walked in on history. But anyway, Kyle, it's a pleasure that you'll be with us permanently here on the Extra Point as our NFL guy.
Yes,
and he'll
sir.
Be with us throughout the season. So it was clear we needed him to dive in. So we'll break the show down into two parts since we are all NFC East fans. We'll do that last. So this segment, we'll do the AFC, and we'll go from out west to the east. We'll make our divisional picks and our two wild cards. We won't break down brackets or who plays who or any of that jazz. We'll just pick the four division winners and the two wild cards and who comes out of the AFC to head to the hell's the Super Bowl this year? I used to remember by heart. It's not Indianapolis. Where the hell is it again?
Is it Arizona? No.
Is it at the Toaster?
I think it is in Arizona.
I think it is at the Toaster. Ah, some team in this on this show had a fun night at the Toaster once. Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it, Dr. J?
It does.
all right. Mr. Forchetti, let's test you. Let's go to the AFC West first. Obviously, the centerpiece team there is your defending AFC champion, Denver Broncos, with Peyton and the crew. Some changes in Denver. No Sean Moreno is gone. Let's talk about the Broncos for a minute. They did make some changes offensively. Eric Decker's gone. What are your thoughts on the Broncos? Have they upgraded, downgraded? Did they stay status quo? What are your thoughts on the defending AFC champs as we head into the season?
You know, I don't know if it even makes a difference as long as they have Peyton Manning a quarterback. I think he can make average players look great. And, I think that the key with the Broncos this year is Peyton going to show signs of decline? Because it happens to every great player. I mean, if it happens to Brett Favre, it's going to happen to everybody. So I feel like if Peyton played to the level that he did last year, the sky's the limit for them. They did lose Eric Decker. He was a dependable number two receiver, but they still have Demaryius Thomas. They drafted Cody Latimer, I believe. So they still have some offensive weapons and obviously Julius Thomas. And I think Monty Ball is a big key in this offense as well. Like you said, no Sean Marino, no longer there. But I feel like as long as Peyton is calling the shots, and obviously they made some upgrades on defense, I think that tandem with DeMarcus and Von Miller is going to be interesting to watch for sure.
Breaks my heart.
It does.
That we have to see number 94 in another color kills me. But the Cowboys apparently couldn't afford him. I don't know how the hell that happened. But it's kind of strange. Is their defense better than a year ago?
It's tough to tell. I mean, they did lose Champ Bailey as well, but he was banged up the whole year, so it's tough to say. You know, what impact would he have had on the team last year if he was healthy? I'm not going to say they're better, but I don't see them taking a large step back. I still see them as the team of the division. Obviously, they're going to make some noise in the playoffs, obviously, to say the least. So, I don't see them getting better, but I don't see them getting worse either. I think they're just going to stay status quo, and they're just going to average 35 points a game, and it's going to put less pressure on the defense to actually win games for them. So I just think it's a team that's in win now mode.
Now, another team that's fascinating in this division. I kind of jumped on their bandwagon a little bit last year because I felt bad for their quarterback was the Chiefs. Alex Smith got jobbed, in my opinion, in San Francisco. Yes, I know Colin Kaepernick brought him to a Super Bowl, but you never lose your job due to injury. But that's, I think, the smarminess of Jim Harbaugh, to be honest with you. Their defense is amazing, and they have probably one of the best all-purpose guys in the league in Jamaal Charles. Can Kansas City win this division? I mean, they played the Broncos tough in two games last year, lost both. Are they good enough again to challenge Denver?
You know, if Kansas City wasn't playing the NFC West this year, I would say possibly. But they're playing, you know, in my opinion, the best division in football. So their schedule is definitely going to be a lot tougher than it was last year. And they're not going to sneak up on anybody. They did lose a couple starters on the offensive line. Brandon Albert, I believe, and John Asamoah. And they lost Tyson Jackson as well. So they lost a couple starters there. I just think they overachieved a little bit last year. They snuck up on a lot of people. Tougher schedule this year. And I like Alex Smith, but I don't think you could put too much pressure on him to carry a team. And with their schedule, I see them taking a little bit of a step back this year.
Another team. Now, San Diego is always San Diego. One team in particular, before we move on to the next division, the Raiders have an interesting two-back tandem. I mean, we have Darren McFadden, who has struggled both injury-wise and kind of with self-confidence. He only had about 400 yards rushing last year. And, of course, now they have Maurice Jones-Drew, who left that dumpster fire in Jacksonville. I don't know if it's any better here, but can the Raiders compete for a wild card here? Or do you think they're still maybe a year or two away?
Well, I mean, if Matt Schaub's going to be starting a quarterback, I'll give them tops three wins. You know, I'll say it right now. I think Derek Carr is going to be starting by week six. Schaub's had a horrendous preseason. I think the rookie's going to be starting by midseason. I do like their draft, though. I love how they got Khalil Mack from UCLA. I think that'll help the defense. But they're just too inept at quarterback and offense in general. You know, the 1-2 punch is decent, but can McFadden and Jones-Drew stay healthy? They haven't shown that they could do that. And I think I think Jones-Drew is definitely past his prime, but McFadden just hasn't been able to stay healthy in general. So I'll say 3-13.
Oh, I agree.
So I was being generous.
I can't see the Raiders doing much here. They also signed, defense. They signed Justin Tuck. I think he's at the end of his line. I don't see much going on here for the Raiders. Three might even be nice. Being nice.
Yeah, it's generous.
Okay, oh no, go ahead. Finish your thought, Kyle. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, free agents go to die in Washington and Oakland. Can we agree on that?
I definitely could agree with you on that one.
Political correctness died in Washington too, but not on this show. No. So I think we're all safe to say Denver wins this division again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Any wild cards?
You know, I like San Diego as a wild card. I don't know why. I like Mike McCoy
over the Chiefs.
San Diego.
No, I mean over the Chiefs.
Oh, over the Chiefs. Yes, I do. I like San Diego as the. I believe is the 60 to have him in my bracket. So,
okay.
I think Ladarius Green is going to be a big breakout star for them at tight end.
Okay. G, do you think you any? Do you like Kansas City or San Diego to maybe take a wild card or no?
I agree. I like San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City, like you said, I think they're going to have a tougher schedule this year. I don't think they're going to sneak up on anybody. I just think I think San Diego is just a little stronger right now.
Okay, so we all agree that Denver will win the AFC West again, and I'm gonna stick with Romeo's boys. I like Alex Smith. I mean, they had a win. I mean, they had that game in Indianapolis won. And they let it get away. I mean, I remember watching that game with Justin up at Boneheads. And I couldn't believe the Colts won that game. I really couldn't. I thought Kansas City had that game in the bag. But we all like the Broncos. And you guys like – I'm gonna take the Chiefs as a wild card. I do. I'm going to take the Chiefs as a wild card.
That's good. Variety's good. Variety's good.
Yes. I think variety's very good. I like the Chiefs. I think they're going to – I don't know how far they'll go, but I think they'll take one of the two wild cards. All right. Let's go to the AFC South. Speaking of the Colts, this division's kind of wide open. I think it's safe to say the Jags will probably finish last again. Are you an Andrew Luck guy, Kyle?
I am. Statistically, he didn't really have a good year last year, but somehow in the fourth quarter, he was making plays and they got 11 wins. So he just, he never puts up the best stats, but somehow he gets the job done with, a pretty porous defense. Mm-hmm. So I like Luck, and he's in his third year, and usually players blossom by their third year, so this is a big progression year for him. But did they improve the defense enough to really help that offense? I don't know. So I do see them taking a little bit of a step back, but by default in a weak division, I still see them taking the.
I think the Colts definitely have clearly a talent advantage over the rest of the division, even though their defense needs a little work. I think you'll probably see Luck maybe do a little bit more no huddle this year. Which I think will help him take advantage of, especially the rest of that division. I think Luck, this will be his year this year. I think you're going to see a big improvement.
Yeah. I mean, he's a young guy, throws a lot of picks, but obviously, guys like he's got T.Y. Hilton, who's a good fantasy guy. If you need a WR3 or maybe even a 2, we'll see if he gets more throws this year. Houston, of course, a huge overhaul after the debacle of a year ago. But was that like a phony 4-12? I think that's where they finished, right? 4-12.
They were 2-14.
Yep. Was that a legit 2-14? Like they're really that bad? or do you think it's just injuries? And because I always thought that you thought they were a better team than that going into the season, considering the year they had before that in 2012. Can they bounce back, Kyle?
I think they'll improve, but I see them going from 2 wins to 4 wins. So yeah, they'll be better.
They can't seem to argue.
they've changed a lot in their. I mean, they did have the number one pick. They did draft Jadeveon Clowney, and I followed Clowney a lot, being working with CBS closely, and then being obviously SEC network in terms of airing a lot of South Carolina's games. Their offense will be, their defense will be a little bit better. There's something about Foster that concerns me, though, about Arian Foster. Is he broke? I mean, he's only in his sixth year, but do you feel like he's worn down already? Do you feel like he's already kind of like hit the wall in terms of his career? What are your thoughts on Foster? You think he'll have a big year?
That's kind of the shelf life of a NFL running back at this point, what 3-4 years, and then they kind of decline from there. So it's definitely a passing league. And, they brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And is he a starting quarterback in the NFL? Probably not. He's shown what he's going to be at this point. So, did they improve a quarterback? I don't know. Did they improve on defense? Yes. I mean, Clowney is going to be unstoppable, in my opinion. And, when you combine Clowney and J.J. Watt, that's downright scary.
Yeah. My prediction, I think by week 4 or 5, I think Case Keenum is going to be your starter. I think Fitzpatrick, and I liked Fitzpatrick in Buffalo, and a guy I work with is a diehard Bills fan, and he was like, yeah, he signed the extension, and I guarantee you in a couple of years he won't even be here. And he was right. So
yeah, it's true.
I guarantee you by week 5 or 6, I think Case Keenum will start in Houston.
Going back to the running back thing, it's amazing though how insignificant that position has become. I mean, that used to be a premier position, and now it's such a passing league right now that, like you said, if you get a shelf life of 3-4 years, you're doing well as a team with a running back these days.
Well, it's amazing you say that, Dr. G. You're exactly right, because not that we talk a lot about fantasy sports here, but I do want to just make one point that, back in the day in the 90s, early 2000s, your first couple picks were always at least a quarterback. You always drafted a quarterback first. Now, last couple of years, you're drafting either LeSean McCoy, Doug Martin, Jamal Charles, because there's not many of them, and they'll give you big points. Everybody throws for 4,000 yards now. You could suck. You could have a 3-win team and throw for 3,500 yards. Back in the 80s and 90s, 4,000 yards was only like Dan Marino territory and John Elway. Now, pretty much everybody throws for 4,000 yards. But how many 1,000-yard rushers do you have? I mean, other than Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, and you're seeing a lot more defensive penalties lately, especially in this preseason. So I've been...
Kyle? He was kidnapped. He was kidnapped by the evil Redskins. Kyle, you there? Nope, we're having a little.
This is what we call a technical
difficulty.
Technical difficulty.
But I agree. When we wait for Kyle to come back, I agree with you, Dr. G. I mean, like I said, back in the day, the quarterbacks were the premium. Now, there's maybe 5 top flight running backs, and then you're.
And like you said, you if you get 3 or 4 years, you're thrilled. Out of running back these days. So,
and they have young. I mean, they got Ronnie Brown from Auburn is in their backfield. They drafted the kid Oprum from Kansas, and they got Jonathan Grimes. So they've got a young backfield. But Arian Foster, he's already in his sixth year. And are you back, Kyle?
I'm back. I'm here.
You were kidnapped by the Redskins. Oh, they're going to make you not say their name. No. We were talking about this backfield. I mean, they drafted the kid Oprum from Kansas. Is he broken down? Is this it for Arian Foster? Is he no longer an elite back?
I don't think he's an elite back anymore. And I think he was depended on so much. He carried the load. He basically was that offense, him and Andre Johnson for some time. So now that he isn't producing at his level anymore, I mean, you saw it last year, the offense was just pitiful. You can't put you can't put Matt Schaub in that position to throw the ball 30 times a game. That's just not his game.
Right.
So I think he's definitely peaked as a player. Hey, heck of a player for an undrafted free agent, but you know, I'm pretty sure he's peaked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think it's safe to say we all like the Colts here. I mean, it's a very weak division anyway.
Nobody else going out of that division.
Yeah, there won't be any playoff teams. I think Tennessee will probably win maybe 7 games.
Yes.
That might be a little generous there. I mean, I think Jake Locker was in a weird situation when he first got there. He'll be a little bit better, but they've got other issues anyway. So I think it's safe to say the one team leaving the South will be the Andrew Luck and the Colts.
And how does Jacksonville still have a team?
I know. Why aren't they in L.A. yet? I mean, geez. You know?
Blake Bortles could surprise some people, but he's just not on a good team. But
yeah, he's gonna put up some crazy numbers this year. Again, they may win 3 games. It's a question who will be worse, them or Houston. Houston had that one window in 2012. They had that one shot, and they ended up losing to. Didn't they lose at home to the Ravens? I think in the wild card round. I think that's what it was, or divisional playoff. So. It was 2012 because the Ravens went to the Super Bowl that year, so they lost to Baltimore. All right, let's go to the North, where there's a lot of chit-chat. You got three teams and Cleveland. We'll talk about the Browns in a minute because they have some other special situations. My PIC, Mr. Rosero, and I always debate about the value of Andy Dalton. He just got an extension. Justin's not very high on him. Thinks he's a bum. I watched a lot of him in college because, again, my client, CBS Sports.
Well, not everybody could be Geno Smith. Come on.
Or Michael Vick. Or Taj Boyd. I watched a lot of Andy Dalton in college because my client aired a lot of TCU games when he was there. What are your thoughts on Andy Dalton? Or do you think this is a guy who's slowly running out of chances? Is he a playoff winner? What do you think of Dalton, Kyle?
He's not a playoff winner, but he's pretty solid during the regular season. But is that indicative of him? I mean, he has one of the best wide receivers in the game in A.J. Green. He has, you know, pretty much a suffocating defense. They get a lot of turnovers. They can run the ball. You know, they ran the ball pretty well last year with Green Ellis and Bernard. So is it Andy Dalton or is it just a lot of talent surrounded by Andy Dalton? That's the question. But he's the Tony Romo of the AFC. The only difference is he actually gets to the playoffs.
Well, his seasons don't rely on week 17 every freaking year. That's the other problem.
Right.
I mean, they got a lot of weapons. I mean, they got Eifert. They got good receivers. It's not like they don't have the players. They have Gresham. They got the players. So their defense is hard-hitting. They take a lot of penalties. So it'll be interesting to see if they can compete.
Defensive line too, and you know they did lose Mike Zimmer as their defensive coordinator, so that'll be interesting to monitor that.
True. In Baltimore, another guy that Dr. G's Mr. Rosero's not a big fan of, Joe Flacco. He likes ripping him too. Joe Flacco, another guy who many people think had a good 3 games a couple years ago, won a ring, got a big contract, and now we'll sit on that. I think he's a little better than Andy Dalton. Did make it back to the promised land a year ago. They can contend. I think they're good. They're good enough team to compete for a wild card. The Ray Rice stuff, obviously, notwithstanding, they had the circus swirling around that. What are your thoughts on the Ravens, Kyle?
You know, I'm not a big fan of Joe Flacco either. I think good coaching still gets them around. I'll say 8, maybe 9 wins in a weak division. Yeah. But just not a talented team. You have all the distractions with Ray Rice going on. He's not going to be back for a couple weeks. That's another story if you think it was enough of a penalty. But, the defense is unproven. Offense is inconsistent. I'm just not a believer in Joe Flacco. And you mentioned the contract. I think it was pretty much a big mistake. But that's what quarterbacks are going for. You know, he was coming off a Super Bowl win. So it was a tough situation. But I think that team has peaked with Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I think I like the Steelers in this division. I still think Roethlisberger will do a little no-huddle offense, which is what he likes.
You know, I still think, you know, he still has the pedigree. He has, you know, he has the experience under his belt. Roethlisberger does. So I think that that makes the Steelers and their defense is still pretty good. So that's who I got going out of this division. If I had to pick a wild card going out of the division, I would maybe go with the Bengals. I think Dalton's a decent quarterback. I really do. Is he a great quarterback or an elite quarterback? No, but I still think he's good enough in that division to get it done, at least to make a wild card.
I think the issue with the Steelers the last couple of years, Kyle, your thoughts on this, is the offensive line has not been good because usually by week six, Roethlisberger's limping in some capacity, ankle, knee, something. Now, of course, they have running back issues, both Bell and Blunt. Perfect last name for him. I don't know if they're both going to start the season. I'm not sure what that situation is. They do have Josh Harris, the rookie from Wake Forest. Could that hurt them at the early in the season?
Yeah, it could. But at the same time, they made some, you know, pretty significant upgrades on defense. I love how they drafted Ryan Shazier. I think he could be a candidate for Rookie of the Year. I really want the Cowboys. The Cowboys are primed to pick him, pick before the Steelers took him. So I think they took Tuitt from Notre Dame in the second round, so he'll provide some defensive line depth. So, like you said, the offensive line was a big issue last year. I think they lost Pouncey in the first couple plays of week one last year. I think it was against Cleveland or something. But they need to stay healthy on the offensive line. There's question marks there. But I think the defense has been a big, big issue the last couple years. They were just aging. And they needed to get younger, and they did that this year. They, you know, they dedicated their first two high draft picks to defense. So I'm with you, George. I see them making the playoffs as a wild card for me, but they're definitely gonna be in the hunt.
Who do you like out of that division?
I have Cincinnati winning really close. I have them going 11-5, and I have Pittsburgh going 10-6. So I think it's gonna.
You're kind of like me. You have them reversed. You have Bengals winning the division. Steelers going wild card, and I have it the opposite. So it's, I think it's going to be very close in a weak division, and you know, I just think I kind of like Roethlisberger. You know, if he could stay healthy, I think that he just having him gives them a little bit of the edge.
Definitely.
Let's talk about the team in this division that's not going to make the playoffs, but will make a boatload of headlines this season. And that's a team that I want to jump on their bandwagon because they're one of those old school teams I always liked. Plus, I'm a weirdo that loves the color orange. It is amazing, Kyle, how this close, and I have my two fingers like half an inch apart, this close that our drunken owner, almost drunken, lecherous, pervert owner, almost wanted Johnny Manziel as our quarterback. That would have been an absolute disaster, in my opinion. He does go to Cleveland, but Hoyer is going to start the season. I don't know how long that's going to last. What week do you think it is before Johnny Manziel starting in Cleveland?
I'll put it around week eight to week 10. Cause I think Hoyer was pretty decent last year before he went down with the ACL tear. He was kind of, you know, he was making a little bit of a name for himself, but you know, he's coming off the ACL tear and, he's kind of an unknown right now too, but Johnny Football is such a polarizing figure. So I think at some point he's got to be the starter just because he'll bring excitement to that city. And they haven't had that for some time.
But, right.
Well, you got to give the coaching staff credit for not caving in and the team caving in because, you know, that's obviously going to help fill seats. You know, it would have brought some excitement to the area. But you got to give him credit for not saying, hey, you know what, we're going to make Johnny Manziel our starter. I was surprised by that because I thought they were going to cave in to you know, the demands of the city. So yeah, I give him a lot of credit for going with Hoyer. I think that's the right choice right now. You know, I think Manziel needs a little more maturing.
That's a good point.
I don't think anybody thinks that defenses are quote out to get him. I mean, he is a rich smartass. But I just think he's too small. I mean, I just see defenses just when they hit him, they're going to hit him hard. And I don't think it has anything to do with that he's disliked. I just think he's just going to get hit hard. He's a small guy, you know. But
I think him being a little disliked will work against them too. So.
Well, that's true, but I don't know if it'll be that big a deal at that point. By the time he starts, Kyle, as you said, week 8 or 9, the you know the Browns could be 2-6, and who really gives a crap at that point? Yeah. But I think Hoyer deserves an opportunity, to at least see what he can do and give Manziel a chance. Maybe he needs a chance to be humbled. You know, maybe he needs to be humbled and not start the season because, you know, wow, there's a boatload of jerseys made for him. Whoop-de frickin' do. Maybe he needs to be humbled a little bit. So
it may happen when you take away your number one target and Josh Gordon being gone for the year. That puts a damper on the entire season.
Yeah, let's talk about him for a second before we move on to the last division. They came out today that he requested from Cleveland, obviously suspended for the year for substance abuse. He asked the Browns if he could play in Canada this season, and they said no. I applaud the Browns. He is suspended. He works for the Browns. He did something wrong. He should be punished. He should not be allowed to make money somewhere else. What are your thoughts on that, Kyle? I don't think he should play in Canada either. I think he should sit out and be punished.
No, I agree with you. The Browns had every right to make that decision. He should be punished. He should have time to sit down and reflect on what he did. Because if he's able to still go out and play football, I mean, you could say that's what he loves to do. But, you know, when you make boneheaded decisions like he did, you question that. But let's just assume that he loves football. Why would you let him continue to do that? You need. It's like when you scold a little child. That's how you need to treat this guy. He obviously has some maturity issues, and I think the best way for that is to make him sit out and reflect on what he did.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. By the way, on a side note, Roger Goodell, do something about NFL.com. This website's a disaster. Things take forever to load. Good Lord. Yeah, I agree, too. I just don't think it's right that he should be allowed to make money somewhere else. He's being punished. He deserves to be punished. So it's safe to say we all like we made our first differences of opinion. We all like the Steelers or Bengals to win the division. Do you like the Bengals in the wild card, too, Jay? Or do you just like the Steelers out of this division?
No, I said Steelers and then I said Bengals for wild card.
All right, so we all like these two teams to make the playoffs in different roles.
Right.
All right, let's go to the final division in the AFC, and that is the precious AFC East, of which there are plenty of fans in Place to Be Nation of some team here, whether it's mostly Jets or Patriots.
I mean, is there really anybody else but the Patriots that are going to win
the division?
But
is the clock ticking on them, though? The clock's ticking on them, though, isn't it?
That's all I hear every year is the clock ticking on them. It's still the class division or the class of the league. Really.
Well, look at the rest of the division. I mean, or
the conference, I'm sorry, not the league.
Well, I mean, here's a case where I think Tom Brady is showing his vulnerabilities. He does not have the mobility in the pocket he used to. He favors that knee that he blew out, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? More than that, God, what, 2007? 6 years ago, right? 2008? Yeah, because the year after they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
They do have Ridley. You know, they do have a pretty decent backfield. Edelman's a good receiver. Defense got better. But
Revis.
They do have Revis Island. Taking away the fact that they'll probably win this division by default, what are your thoughts on them as a contender in the conference this year, Kyle?
I don't see. I mean, anything could happen when you get in the playoffs. And the AFC, I would consider that the weaker conference. So I think they have a shot, you know, when you have Tom Brady. But I don't think they have surrounded him with enough weapons on offense. I mean, the 1 year he had a true number one receiver, Randy Moss, he threw 50 touchdowns. I don't know why they haven't tried to get that kind of weapon around him again. And there's some questions with Gronkowski's health as well. So question marks on offense. They have a lot of good dependable receivers that maybe will get a lot of receptions, but are they going to make big plays? I don't think so. I do like their defense, though. I think they're going to be top 10 in the league. And they're 85-15 at home since 2003. So they have a pretty solid home field advantage. The question is, when they get on the road in the playoffs, what's going to happen there?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go to the class of this division. They're a solid team all the way around. The Jets have a lot of issues in their secondary. I think that's what's going to hold them back. I still think the Jets could possibly win. I like the Patriots hands down. You know what? You got Brady and Belichick. Until they show me they can't do it anymore, as much as it pains me to say, they're the class of this division.
I think Michael Vick was a good move for the Jets. They run a similar offense than what he's used to. Geno Smith clearly needs some work.
I think Geno Smith's okay. I've seen some improvement. I don't really have a problem with him being the starting quarterback. I just think the thing that's going to hurt them is their secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I like D. Milner. I saw him a lot in college at Bama. But yeah, without Revis, sometimes, I mean, maybe they just didn't want to pay, but, can the Jets do anything this season, Kyle? I mean, is Michael Vick a move that could propel them to the playoffs?
It concerns me, reportedly, that Michael Vick is content with being a backup. You know, if I bring in a free agent, I want him to want to compete, to be a starter. You know, so it's kind of concerning. You know, I know he's aging. He's up there in age. He's, you know, in his mid to late 30s, I think. Probably mid-30s. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's still better than Geno Smith. But then again, Geno Smith was thrown into the fire last year. I mean, you're talking about a rookie quarterback, a completely different offensive system with the Jets. He was just thrown into a bad situation. So I'm anxious to see, you know, if he does progress in year two. But I don't think Vic is going to be enough to really propel them into a playoff contender.
Vic is, let me check his age. He's, well, this is his 14th year. He was born in 1980. So he's 30, he's 34.
34.
So he turned 34 in June. So yeah, mid-30s. But yeah, I agree. You'd want a guy who wants to compete and who wants to, because competing only makes Geno Smith better. Because if you need to fight for your job, you fight for your job. Although, as I joke with Justin all the time, I always have a soft spot for Taj Boyd from Clemson. I liked him in college. So he could be a dark horse for starting some games. Then again, I liked Greg McElroy. That guy won many games in Alabama. He won a national championship at Alabama, and yeah, he looked clueless every time he played for the Jets, so Lord only knows. In Miami, you've got some good skill guys. I think Tannehill didn't have a bad year last year, but you got some good receivers. You got no Sean Moreno in your backfield. I don't know if he'll start, probably. Does Miami have a shot for a wild card in this division? Do you have a shot to win the division, Kyle?
I don't think they have a shot to win the division. I think they'll compete. I do like their defense. I like the pass rushers they have on the outside with Cameron Wake and Deion Jordan's a young player. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Ryan Tannehill, he makes too many questionable decisions. I don't know. He needs to show me something more. And last year, they were talking about Lamar Miller really becoming, you know, a breakout player, and he was kind of disappointing. So I want to see if they can run the football, be consistent, and, you know, they have some weapons at wide receiver. Mike Wallace is a nice player, but is he a true number one at this point? I don't know. So I don't see them competing in the division, but – you know, this, I see them maybe whipping out 6 or 7 wins, but playoffs probably not.
Mm-hmm. And Buffalo's just Buffalo.
Just Buffalo.
So. All right. Ooh, I hear an echo. Bad enough to hear my voice once. There we go. It's gone. All right. So here's our picks for the AFC and for the wild cards. Dr. G, you have Denver, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and New England for your divisions and your wild cards. Are Cincinnati and San Diego. I have the Broncos, Colts, Bengals, Patriots winning the divisions, Steelers, Chiefs wild card, and then Kyle, you have Broncos, Colts, Bengals, Patriots, and then your wild cards are Steelers, Chargers.
Yes.
All right. Kyle, what is your AFC championship and who wins?
AFC championship is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals at the Denver Broncos. And the Denver Broncos are going to back-to-back Super Bowls.
Okay. G?
I'm going to say Broncos, and Broncos will go to the Super Bowl.
I didn't hear the first part. You broke up. Broncos and who?
Patriots.
Patriots. Oh, another rematch. Oh, the den of hell for Tom Brady. Denver.
I'm gonna say that Denver is gonna pull it out again.
I'm with you.
Okay. I like the Broncos and the Steelers in the NFC in the AFC Championship, and I think Denver wins. So I think it's all safe to say it's a weak division. It's a weak conference. We all know that. When it comes to brass tacks at the AFC Championships at Invesco, I can't see anybody else. I can't see any. I don't think there's a team in the AFC strong enough to go into Denver and beating the Broncos. I just don't think so. If the Broncos somehow get upset, well, you got a whole different can of beans. Could this be New England's last stand? You know, time is not on Brady's side. This is his what? 14th year, 15th year. So maybe Belichick pulls one more rabbit out of his hat. We'll see. I think Denver's just too good. Any dark horses or any candidates, Kyle, for league MVP out of the AFC?
I don't. Peyton, probably. No, you know, I don't have my league MVP coming out of the AFC. So
oh, okay.
I guess I'll save that for later.
Okay. If there was one, who would it be?
Andy Dalton. No, I'm just kidding. Peyton Manning.
Thank you. No. I don't know why, maybe it's our buddy Chris, G, but I love Jamal Charles. I think he's going to have a huge year statistically. And I don't know, something
about he'll have a good year, but I don't think he's MVP.
I mean, who knows? I don't know. I have a thing for the Chiefs. I don't know why. I don't think they're going to – I mean, they'll make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl or anything. But
yeah.
All right, so we all like Denver to come out of the AFC and head to the toaster for Super Bowl 50. Right? Is that what it is? I used to remember these things.
Is it 50?
Or is it 49?
I think it's 49.
I think it's 49, too. Let's see. I have a feeling it's 49. What? Remember when we were a kid, we used to remember like where they were all were played? Yeah, it's 49.
49. Okay.
Super Bowl 49 at the University of Phoenix Stadium in the toaster. So, all right. This is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point, your 2014 NFL preview. We have gone through the AFC. I'm Scott Criscola with the Doctor. Kyle Forchetti, our official NFL analyst here on the Extra Point. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go to the other side of the coin, the conference that we follow religiously, and that is, of course, the NFC. We'll talk Saints, Falcons, Niners. No Sam Bradford in St. Louis. We'll talk our two quarterbacks and much, much more. Stay tuned. Extra Point coming up.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show, each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on PlaceToBeNation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richard and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Extra points, the 2014 NFL preview, episode 13. I am Scott Riscolo with the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, and our NFL analyst, Kyle Forchetti, who's in his old state. You are away, right? Visiting family. You are usually a Texan now.
I am.
And you can hang out with Charlie Strong. You live in, near Austin, right? Is that where you live?
I'm in Austin, yeah, deep in the heart of Austin.
Deep heart, yeah, you're right there in Longhorn Country, my friend. Hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em all day.
How is it down there in Texas? I hear always such great things about Texas.
Yeah, it's the cost of living is lower, and it's a younger city. You know, it's a different culture down there. People are a lot, kinder and polite, and you know, it's just kind of like a whole new start for me. So, you know, being in that environment, you know, pursuing a profession that is very rewarding, you can't really ask for anything else, you know.
So what did actually make you move down to Texas? Was it your profession, your job?
Yeah, it was. I got into a physical therapy program, so it's a 2-year program, and I just decided to pack my bags and make the drive down there. 27 hours, you know. I'm loving it every minute.
Wow.
Is it hard? Somebody being from up north living down there, or is it there a lot? There's a lot of northerners down there now, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing about the program, there's so many different stories from different people of different backgrounds. So, yeah, people coming from Louisiana, from California, from Oregon, you know, just all over the country. So there's a wide variety of people. And, you know, there's only 50 people in my class, so we're all really close-knit. We always hang out outside of class and everything. And it's a good environment in general.
Very cool.
You're such a happy guy, Kyle. And you know what's made your life complete? You're back here at Place to Be Nation.
That's exactly. It's a long time coming.
It is. Speaking of PlaceToBeNation.com, of course, your home for all things pop culture. Continue to vote in the World Cup of TV characters. Today, we've got some good matchups. Zach Morris is beating the snot out of Red Foreman, which is a little depressing. Bart Simpson's up big. Frank Costanza's up big. And Al Bundy is bombing J.R. Ewing. So that's today. So vote on all of them as we're in the second round of knockouts at PlaceToBeNation.com, the World Cup of TV characters. All right, so let's dive into the NFC. We did the AFC in our last segment. We all like Denver to make it to the toaster for Super Bowl 49 and try and erase the memory of the debacle at MetLife. But will they get a shot again at the Seahawks? Will the Seahawks win back-to-back? Let's see. Let's start in that division. Let's start in the NFC West. Good division. I think three teams are very good. One team is going to be atrocious this year. That, of course, now being the Rams without Sam Bradford. They're pretty much done. Let's talk about Arizona. Here's a team with a lot of good skill positions. Carson Palmer is not dreadful. He won some big games for Arizona late. Almost got them to the playoffs. I think Bruce Arians is a good coach. What do you think, Kyle? Does Arizona have a shot? Maybe not to win the division, but can they grab a wild card?
I think so. I mean, they really got hot at the end of the year. I mean, they missed the playoffs at 10-6. If they were in maybe, you know, the NFC East, you know, per se, they probably would have won that division. So I will say that the loss of Darnell Dockett is pretty big. He's kind of the mainstay on their defense. And can Carson Palmer repeat that performance going into late of 2013. But one player I do like is Andre Ellington. I think they're going to make him the focal point on offense in terms of running backs. And I think Michael Floyd could be another breakout player, wide receiver.
Yeah, I like Ellington too in his second year out of Clemson. Little scat back, 5'9", little guy. But I think he can do some fabulous things. And they also have Dwyer and Jonathan Dwyer. Is this kind of a renaissance for Carson Palmer? He flopped in had injury issues in Cincinnati, and he bombed in Oakland. Is this kind of like where former really good quarterbacks go to resurrect their career? I mean, look at Kurt Warner. You know,
yeah.
Is it just the situation there, the field? I've heard people love playing there. Cardinal players like throwing the ball there. They like the atmosphere. Is this a renaissance for Carson Palmer?
You know, I think it's a great home field advantage, and I think they have that going for them. They were very impressive at home last year, and it sure seems that way. But then again, he does have a lot of talented players around him. I mean, they're going to have a solid 1-2 punch at wide receiver with Larry Fitz and Michael Floyd. And you know, the defense was very, very impressive last year. So if they can keep up that performance last year, I don't see why they can't compete. They're not asking Carson to do too much. I mean, and that's the key. Don't ask him to do too much and just create turnovers and be consistent on offense.
They have Drew Stanton, who I think is a pretty solid backup, solid enough backup. All right. A team that everybody really likes. They have a lot of talent. They paid their quarterback a hell of a lot of money. But there's some other issues going on there, and that's in San Francisco. New stadium this year, of course, home for WrestleMania 31. But already we're having issues. Turf is messed up. There was Wi-Fi issues. The scoreboard wasn't working. There was a lot of issues with the building. And then a lot of scuttlebutt about the team finally, or not finally, I shouldn't say that, the team tuning out Jim Harbaugh. But you got Kaepernick, who's a hell of a player. The guy's got a cannon for an arm. He's mobile in the pocket. They had a shot last year late against the Seahawks. Do they have a shot again?
If they get home field, they do, but they're not going to Seattle and winning. I don't see it happening. I mean, no. Like you said, you know, there's so many distractions going on. Mm.
I like San Francisco as a wild card.
Yep.
But the Seahawks are clearly the the favorites of this division. I mean, 17 of the 22 starters are returning from the Super Bowl. Just a great organization all around. They won't repeat, but I do definitely like them repeat as champions. But I do like them out of the West easily. Unfortunate for San Francisco, they're in the division, same division as the Seahawks. I think if the Seahawks weren't in their division, then I'd give it to San Francisco. But since I know we're going to be making our picks, I'll go San Francisco division and Seattle to win the NFC West and San Francisco to take one of the wild cards.
See, I'm going to go against the grain. I like the Niners.
For sure. That's like when you pick the Cowboys in their first year in the stadium to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's different. The year before, they didn't go to the NFC Championship, and they certainly didn't have that kind of talent. What? When I did my – I got to tell you that. I got to tell that story to Kyle. The year that the Super Bowl was in our building at our Taj Mahal, Kyle, I told everybody at work that I was going to make Gold LeMay invitations for everyone and to come to our building to watch us win the World Championship.
Oh, my God.
And I'm usually never that arrogant about any of my teams, per se. But, yeah, it was it was pretty bad.
That's like when Jerry Jones printed playoff tickets the year we lost to the Giants in the playoffs in 2007. He was giving out NFC Championship tickets to
Yeah, meanwhile, his team, instead of preparing for the game, all went to Cabo or whatever. That was the beginning of the Tony Romo issues
you,
for me.
You know he won't eat tacos with me anymore after that game. We watched the game at his house, and I said, oh, why don't we make tacos. We'll and watch the game. I'm a Giants fan. He's a Cowboys fan. Of course, after he lost that game.
I will not eat tacos at his house anymore. Remember the game a couple years? Remember the Sunday night game a couple years ago, Kyle, when the Cowboys had a 13-point lead?
And I kicked you out?
And you kicked me out, and then Eli scored two touchdowns in the last, 50 seconds, and they lost by a point, whatever.
I do remember that. That was at AT&T Stadium also, right?
Yeah. I think the Cowboys are I think their winning percentage in that building is 420. They suck there. That's because their owner cares more about booking other things in that building than the team itself.
They have pole dancers, though, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, so it's, in other words, it's a 200,000-seat strip joint. That's great.
Right.
I look at the Seahawks schedule. I'm sorry, this 49ers schedule. They get Seattle twice in the last 5 weeks of the season. They play them November 27th at Levi, at the Jeans. And then they play at CenturyLink on December 14th. If they could split those, they got San Diego at home and Arizona at home to end the season. I like that. I like that those chances for the Niners if they're close. I think they could win both those games at home. I think they could beat the Chargers at home. They could beat the Cardinals at home. You look at Seattle's schedule. If the Niners have house money when they get to that week 15 game against the Seahawks, even if they lose that game, all right, let's see who the Seahawks have to end the season. Well, they're at Arizona, which is not a gimme.
No, not at all.
And they're home to the Cardinals. So the two best teams in the West play the two lesser teams in that division at home. Seahawks play the Rams at home. That'll be a cakewalk. And the Niners have Arizona at home. That won't be a cakewalk per se, but they could beat. Obviously the Niners could win that game. So the key for the Niners is to have an edge going into that one game at home on December 14th. I think it's crazy. And you look at the Seahawks stretch, they do have it easy in terms of the way their schedule is laid out. Here are their road games. At San Diego, because at home they're going to be 8-0. I think it's pretty safe. including the Cowboys on October 12th. I don't even think that game's going to be even pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Here are their road games. By the way, Jock DeG, the Giants play at CenturyLink, too. Good luck with that. At San Diego, at Washington, at St. Louis, at Carolina, at Kansas City, that's not a gimme. At San Francisco, obviously. At Philadelphia, that's not a gimme. And at Arizona. So let's say the Seahawks go 8-0 at home. How many of those road games do they win? Do they beat the Chargers in San Diego?
Probably.
Probably. Do they win at Washington? Probably. They'll win at St. Louis. They'll win at Carolina. I say they lose in Kansas City. They'll lose at San Francisco. I think they lose at Philadelphia. And I think they could lose at Arizona, but I'll give them the win in I think they could win in Arizona. So even if they go 4-4 on the road, that's 12-4. Now, is that good enough to beat the Niners? Let's take a look at the Niners schedule again quick.
Are you basically trying to say the Niners are winning this division?
I think the Niners have the best – I think they have a good chance to win this division. I do. But I'm just curious to see – because, I mean, 12-4 is probably what I think the Seahawks are going to do. They're going to go undefeated at home, and they'll probably split those. But it's just the way the games are laid out. If the Niners have an edge late in the season – and the Seahawks have those back-to-back road games at San Francisco, at Philadelphia. Not easy.
Yeah, now, you know, up until this year, Seattle was not a good road team at all. They were 6-2 in the road last year, but up until that point, they were considered, you know, a team that really struggled on the road. So, was that a fluke? You know, the 1 year, obviously they won the Super Bowl, but can they really repeat that performance in a tough division? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think they obviously have great skill players. Russell Wilson, who I've liked since he was in college. But of course now CBSSports.com trying to get the Niners schedule. I think San Francisco can right the ship a little bit and win this division. I still think Seattle will win the wild card. I think it's the same situation we've talked about with the Steelers and the Bengals. Now, here's the Niners road games. Now, their home field is not as dominant as the Seahawks is. But let's see. Let's go game for game and see what happens here. All right. At Dallas, they'll probably win. Cowboys have a fourth quarter lead, blow it. Home to the Bears, they'll win that game. That's the first game at the Jeans. They're 1-1. At Arizona, we'll say 1-2. Home to the Eagles, that's a win, 2-2. Home to Kansas City, that's a win, 3-2. At St. Louis, 4-2. At Denver, that's a loss. So they're 4-3 going into the bye. They come out of the bye at 4-3. They're home to the Rams. That's 5-3. At New Orleans, they've won in New Orleans before. I'll give them a loss there, 5-4. They'll beat the Giants at the Meadowlands, 6-4. Washington, they'll win, 7-4. Seattle, at home, 8-4. At Oakland, 9-4. Seattle, probably lose 9-5. So I have them at 11-5. We said that the Seahawks could go 12-4. Maybe they lose one of those road games.
You know, it's quite possible. Going back to what you said earlier about the players maybe losing confidence in Jim Harbaugh, I look at the culture that Pete Carroll has built in Seattle, and I feel like they're coming off of such an emotional high, just absolutely dominating that Super Bowl victory. I mean, how can they come out flat, honestly? You know how pumped up they're going to be for that opening game against Green Bay. I just feel like they have so much momentum right now, and I feel like that amazing playoff run they had is going to carry into this season.
And you know, they're one of the youngest Super Bowl teams in recent history, too, so... You know, I think they're solid now. They know how to win. I still think they have the edge. I like the Niners for one of the wild card spots, but I still think the Seahawks are the class of the division.
Okay.
So what are you going with, Scott?
I still think that both teams are going to finish 11-5, and I think the Niners will win the tiebreaker. So I still like San Francisco to win the division, but I do like the Seahawks to grab. Mm-hmm. To grab one of the wild cards. So you guys both like Seattle. Do you like anybody in this division to grab a wild card? Kyle?
San Fran.
So you like the Niners walk.
That's what I said. San Fran.
Oh, you did say that, right? Okay. So we both like – so it's the same situation as the AFC North. It's the Bengals and the Steelers. It's just a question of who fits where. So there you go. All right. Let's go to the NFC South. This is kind of a wide-open division because I like all four teams in some capacity. Let's talk about the Saints. Their defense was solid last year, not great. And, of course, their offense always scores a lot of points. The key for them is trying to mix things up offensively. They have not had a dominant back. Darren Sproles, I wouldn't consider a total running back per se. He's used a lot in the backfield. I think Mark Ingram's a guy who could get more carries this year. What are your thoughts of the Saints, Kyle?
I think the biggest question mark and problem that they may have is how many times Jimmy Graham is going to get fined for celebrations after he scores a touchdown. You know, I just see them as having a great season. I think they've improved on defense. They brought in Jarius Byrd from Buffalo, and having a solid game-changing safety next to Kenny Vaccaro is big in a Rob Ryan defense, so I think that's going to help them. And I like what they did bringing in the wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Apparently he's had a marvelous training camp and preseason. So I think the defense is a little underrated, and they're getting some players back from injury. So I love the Saints to take this division for sure.
Let's see.
I agree.
Anything else, G?
No, I think there's not too many holes on this team. I think they're pretty solid all the way around, and I don't see anybody in that division touching them.
They open the year, their schedule, their bye is early week 6. I mean, they could conceivably be 5-0 to start the season. At Atlanta, that's a tough one, though. See, I like the Falcons. We'll get to them in a minute. At Cleveland, their home opener is not till week 3. They play Minnesota. Then they're at Dallas, which everybody's going to beat. And then Tampa at home before the bye. They do have a tough stretch. Here's the Saints issue. Look at this month of November. They get a 3-game homestand, but it's the Niners, the Bengals, and the Ravens. They're all at home, and then at Pittsburgh. That's the month of November for them. That's a pretty tough gauntlet, even with 3 of those games at home.
I think they'll win two of the three of those games.
Think so? Mm-hmm. At Pittsburgh will be tough. Then December, they got Carolina at home, at Chicago. Not sure how they'll be this year. We'll get to them in a minute. Falcons at home, and then they end at Tampa Bay, another team I kind of like. The Falcons are coming off a tough season, injury issues, but seems like everybody's back. They got a great roster of skill guys, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Matt Ryan. I'm a big Matt Ryan guy. Last year was his first, like, tough year. Can they challenge the Saints, Kyle?
I think they'll be in contention. I mean, they, you know, was it an aberration that they were so poor at home last year? That was really surprising to see. I guess we'll find out week 1 when they play New Orleans. But I think they'll be in contention just because they'll feel like they have something to prove after having such a down year. You know, I think Steven Jackson needs to stay healthy. I think Matt Ryan was asked to do too much last year. They were pretty poor on defense, so they did spend a lot of resources on defense. Tyson Jackson, Rashid Hageman in the second round, and Paul Solei. So they're trying to get stronger on the defensive line, and then, you know, they're pretty solid at the skill position. So I think they'll compete, but I don't have them making the playoffs.
Really? What do you think, Jay? Do you like the Falcons? Maybe as a wild card? No.
No, I don't like them as a wild card. I think they'll be all right, but I don't see them as a wild card. Again, I like the Saints in this division. So,
trying to see if I can get people to jump.
I know you like to go against the
Cardinals. I want to see if people other than Chad Campbell and I will jump on the Falcons bandwagon. I don't know. I feel good about them this year. I feel like they're gonna have a real good bounce back year. I mean, I like the Saints. I like Sean Payton. I gotta think about that for a minute. Let's go to Tampa. Lovie Smith has a team with some holes, but a team with some talent. What do you like there, Kyle?
I actually like this team a lot. I think they're going to be in playoff contention till the very end. I have them going 9-7. And the main reason I have that, I mean, one thing I don't like is how they drafted Mike Glennon, and then they brought in a stopgap quarterback, Josh McCown. I don't know what that's going to do for his confidence. But I feel like moving on from the Greg Schiano era, because I remember going on this show a couple years ago and saying,
"Oh, you railed on him.
I knew that he was not going to be a good NFL coach. He belongs in college. So I think, you know, the relief of not having Greg Schiano as head coach, I think they're going to play looser. I think they're going to, you know, be a competitive team every week. I like what they did in the draft, bringing in Mike Evans. And I think, you know, they'll do just – yeah, he's a beast. So I think they're going to – they're definitely going to be much improved.
I like Glennon. I think he'll start. And the defense is I mean, obviously Lovey's going to focus on that. That's his gig. They've got some good players. They got some good, you know, they got a couple rookies in the defense. They drafted Askew from A&M. They got a lot of A&M kids. Bummer they didn't keep Revis, but I don't know if, you know, wasn't sure if he was going to fit there and if it was a stopgap as well. This is a tough division. All three teams, I mean, a lot of people love Carolina. Some people are down on Cam Newton. I don't know why. What are your thoughts on Cam this year, Kyle? I've grown to like Cam Newton. I mean, JR and I debate him constantly because he had a lot of issues when he was a rookie with maturity and attitude. He seemed to have shaken those off, which is good. He's injured right now, so we're not sure if he's going to start game one. What are your thoughts on Cam and the Panthers?
I think Cam Newton is a prime candidate for having a down year for sure. I see them taking a huge step back. I don't know. I just see the Carolina Panthers as a football team where they overachieve, they get too high, they make the playoffs, and then the next year they take a step back, and then the year after that they're back in the playoffs. You know, I just don't see them as being a consistent team, mainly because of the leadership qualities of Cam Newton. I don't know. He gives off a certain stigma to me. And you lose your top two wide receivers, Steve Smith and Brandon LaFell. You draft the rookie, Kelvin Benjamin, a lot of pressure on him. And I just think they overachieved. So they're in a tough division. I think they take a serious step back this year, 5 or 6 wins.
Mm. Mm. Interesting.
I mean, they have a good defense. They have a good defense, but I think I see Cam Newton taking a step back. I agree. Mm. It's a tough division.
It is a very tough division. All right, so you both like the Saints?
Yes.
We do. Mm. We're agreeing a lot tonight, Kyle, you and I.
I don't know.
I don't know, Scott, who are you going to pick?
I don't know. I think I'm going to take the Falcons.
What? Always going against the grain.
No, I agree with you guys.
Do you like any wild card coming out of there?
Oh, farts. We'll get back to that. I'm not going to pick anything yet because we got two divisions left.
All right.
And I'm a little – and I – of course, Kyle, one of yours and my favorite teams from a couple years ago is in this division next. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the North and a team who's throwing a shutout tonight so far in preseason. Let's talk about the Lions, who obviously have a lot of talent, score a lot of points, stole a game from us like everybody else did. Can they win this division? Or is it still Green Bay's division?
No, it's Green Bay's division. And I even have Lions finishing last in the division.
Oh, boy, jumped off that bandwagon pretty quick.
Oh, I knew where it was going. I know we were going to Detroit first, so terrible decision on my part. But, yeah, I don't know. I just see this as the last year for Jim Caldwell. I expect him to be gone. I don't think the players believe in him anymore. I don't know. I just see Matthew Stafford as a good quarterback, but I don't think they're balanced enough to really be consistent. You lose your offensive coordinator, Scott Linehan. I like the tight end they brought in, Eric Ebron. He should be a nice weapon, but I don't know. I think some teams are going to improve in this division. I think the Lions are going to suffer record-wise because of it.
Hmm. Packers are pretty loaded. I love Eddie Lacy. I like Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson. Defense is pretty solid. Are they next to Seattle? Could Green Bay be the most complete team in the conference?
It's quite possible. I mean, it's kind of remarkable how they still made the playoffs, not having their starting quarterback for how many games. I don't know the exact number, but it seemed like the whole year, you know, that Matt Flynn was stepping out there. So I think, you know, this is the year where they reestablish themselves as one of the top teams in the conference. I will say that I think the loss of B.J. Raji is huge, you know, on the defensive line. So
let's look at their schedule for a minute. They open at Seattle. Obviously, they're open with Seattle next Thursday night, first game of the season. Jets at home, at Detroit, at Chicago. They could win three in a row there. At home to Minnesota, they could be 4-1 if they lose to the Packers, if they lose to the Seahawks. And they could beat the Seahawks, I think. So they could be 4-1. At Miami, 5-1. Carolina, 6-1. They could be 6-1. Then they got New Orleans at the Dome. So when they get to their bye, they could be 6-2, which is pretty good. I mean, that could tie them with the Seahawks for the best record in the conference after the bye. Then the Bears at home, Eagles at home. Their schedule is very cushy for them. They're probably their toughest road games at Chicago, at New Orleans, at Tampa. I mean, they should win in Miami. They should win in Minnesota. They should win at Buffalo. Probably the toughest road games for Green Bay is Seattle, Chicago maybe, and Tampa. That's their toughest road games. They could go 13-3 conceivably. You know, if they have that kind of season, you know.
I want to see how they incorporate Julius Peppers into their defense, because he's never played in a 3-4 defense his entire career. Yeah. So I want to see how he translates to an outside linebacker.
What do you think of the Packers, Dr. G?
I think it's them and the Seahawks of the class of the conference. I think they're, you know, pretty complete. Like you said, I mean, to have a backup quarterback last year and still make the playoffs, especially losing a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, that shows you something.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt. There shouldn't even be any doubt in any of our minds that who's going to win that division.
Yeah, I don't think it's any. I like the Packers. I like the Packers more than you know, people think. Might have to. We'll talk more about our championship picks momentarily.
Do you like anybody coming out of there, you guys? You guys like anybody coming out of there?
I don't know. What do you think of the Bears, Kyle?
You know,
every year Jay Cutler gets a reputation, then he kind of gets it back a little bit. Their defense is pretty good. They're turnover junkies. You and I have seen that firsthand the last 2 years on Monday night, last year in Dallas, this year in Chicago, and I think they're one of the Thursday night games, which we'll probably lose. Do they have a chance in this division?
I have them at around 8 or 9 wins. I think the defense was the biggest problem for them last year, obviously. They have two number one wide receivers playing on the field at all times. I mean, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, they are dominating. They're dominant. But I don't know if they did enough on defense. You bring in Jared Allen, how effective is he going to be? Lamar Houston, I like him. But it seems like there's always something missing, whether it's the offensive line or Jay Cutler's inconsistencies. I have them at 8 or 9 wins, but I have them just missing out in the playoffs. But I do have a wild card from this division.
You do? The Vikings?
The Minnesota Vikings.
You're on crack. I say you're gone.
I love their defensive line.
Where's Peter King? No, just kidding.
Wow.
But you're a lot happier than Peter King.
You just did a Scott on us.
Wow, really?
Well, I think I would have picked the Bears before I would have picked.
Wow, I'm giving you the floor on this one, Kyle. Why, the new building? Wait, they don't have a new building for a couple years. What do you like about the Vikings?
I'm trying to spice things up a little bit. I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to prove a lot of people wrong this year. This is my Detroit pick of 2014, okay?
Oh, boy.
So Matt Castle is going to start as the starter. He's probably going to get benched around week 4. So Bridgewater is going to take over, and they're going to just take off from there. I love their defensive line. They drafted Anthony Barr. They have Linville Joseph, Scott Crichton they drafted also. They could just get pressure on the quarterback, and you need that in a division with quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, Stafford, and Cutler. So I just love
you got me interested in watching now. I'm going to watch this. This will be interesting.
You know,
wow.
I just feel like Bridgewater's flying under the radar a little bit. I think, you know, obviously you have AD in the backfield, and I think Cordarrelle Patterson's going to have a nice year.
Mm. I saw Teddy Bridgewater live. I saw a lot of him last year in general, but I saw him. I went up to UConn, and I saw him play UConn on a Friday night in early November, and he was amazing. He's not overly accurate, but he is a risk taker, and for a team like Minnesota, maybe that's somebody they need. So I like Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if they're going to have to win a wild card, but I think if he starts at some point in the season, you may see the Vikings maybe make a late run to maybe six wins, six or seven. I don't know about a wild card. But you know what? I almost picked my Super Bowl about 6 years ago was the Cardinals and Jaguars. So I guess anybody could be stupid for 5 minutes. all right. So we all like the Packers to win the division. Dr. G, any wild cards for you?
I tell you, I'm having a hard time with the second wild card for the
NFC. We got one division left. I ain't gonna be much out of it, but we got one division left.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
So Kyle, you like Vikings Packers to make the playoffs out of this division?
I do. I like Green Bay to take the division, then Vikings getting a wild card at 10-6.
Ten wow. and six. And you guys are breaking my stones about the Falcons? Wow.
Well, you are.
I should play
insane.
You in poker. Want to come to Mohegan? Holy Christ.
Wow.
Let me ask you this, Kyle. How close were you when you were living in Jersey? How close were you to Edison?
I am about 10, 15 minutes from Edison.
Okay. Do you know a place called Harold's New York Deli?
Yes, I do.
You've been there.
I have not been there, but
you,
I know.
You probably have the metabolism of a turbine engine. So if the Vikings make the playoffs this year, Dr. G, you're listening, and Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. If the Vikings make the playoffs, the next time you're in town, we're going to come down to Harold's. I'm going to buy you the Abe Leibowitz sandwich. Okay?
Well, I'll be home for 3 weeks in December, so we'll know by then.
Okay. Dr. G, you and I and Armento split the Abe Leibowitz, correct?
That's right.
It's not a small sandwich. It's also not a cheap sandwich. But if the Vikings make the playoffs, I will buy you an Abe Leibowitz, and we'll put pictures on the Facebook page.
That's the
PlayStation Facebook page. Because I think you're ridiculous. Even though you're one of my favorite even though you're one of my favorite people on the planet and you are welcomed here to the Extra Point family, I think you're out of your mind. But that's okay. All right.
I'll have to come back to my other wild card.
I haven't picked my wild card yet. I haven't picked my other wild card yet either. So, all right, let's talk about the NFC East, the division we all love to hate because we're in it and it sucks. Used to be the best division in football. It is. I don't think it is. Because everybody, you know what it is? I've noticed this the last couple years about the NFC East. Everybody says it's the best division in football because everybody's competitive. Doesn't necessarily mean everybody's good, but it just means everybody's competitive. You know, it's one thing when all four teams are 8-8. You know what I mean? Let's talk about the other two teams before we talk about our teams. One guy that I really like, and I saw him firsthand, and we both watched him, Kyle, in Week 17. I'm not a huge Nick Foles fan, but I do think he fits Chip Kelly's scheme. So I think he'll make this Eagles offense fairly good. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's a great system quarterback for what Chip Kelly wants to do. I mean, and he's such a young player, too, so he's only going to get better, in my opinion. But can he be consistent? Can he keep that play up that he did last year? For some reason, he doesn't play well against the Cowboys. We'll get to that. But I think, you know, they did lose DeSean Jackson, and they bring in, you know, a rookie wide receiver, Jordan Matthews, and I don't know if he's expected to be their number one, but a lot of pressure is on him to produce early. And I love how they brought in Darren Sproles to give McCoy a rest because he's been asked to, you know, carry the rock exclusively by himself, essentially. So I think Sproles and Shady is going to be a nice combo. And I just think good coaching wins them this division.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Eagles. I mean, let's sum up this division. The Cowboys defense is, I guess, awful, if you want to say it. RG3 has to prove again that he could stay healthy, and the Giants offense is in transition. So basically Philadelphia wins it by default in my eyes.
Yeah.
Their defense is pretty solid. That was a tough, tough loss to the Saints in the wild card game. That was a great Saturday of football. That was the game. That was the second game after the Chiefs meltdown against Indianapolis. That was the night game at the Link. How about Washington? We've got issues, or the Washington nickname to be named later. There's issues right now. RG3's status is not secure. Who will be the starting quarterback in week one in Washington, Kyle?
I think it'll be RG3, but I think he's going to be on a short leash for sure. I don't know if he's going to be healthy. I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy. I mean, you know, he had some catastrophic knee injuries that occurred early in his career. So I don't know if he's ever going to be the same guy. They brought in DeSean Jackson. That's great. I don't know what kind of impact he's going to have. If it's dependent upon if RG3 can get him the ball. And you bring in, you know, a head coach that's never been a head coach in the NFL before. It's a complete unknown. Jay Gruden from Cincinnati, offensive coordinator. And then you bring in Jason Hatcher, who flourished in Dallas's 4-3 defense last year, was never really a good fit in a 3-4, and he's coming to Washington, gets his big payday, and he's going to play as a 5-tech in the 3-4. So I don't see him as a good fit. I see them maybe 4 or 5 wins, but yeah, they're not going to compete.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I don't think they're going to. I love Alfred Morris. I think he'll put up good numbers. I think he's reaching. I think he could another good year of stats. He could reach that elite running back like LeSean McCoy, an AP. But I think they're going to struggle too. All right.
So please tell me you're not going to pick a wild card from this division.
No, absolutely not. No, it's time for reality to set in. The Cowboys are going to be atrocious. But the sad thing about it is, Kyle, every time I want them to be atrocious, they're not. They've got unbelievable skill guys. I mean, they've got talent at all the skill positions. I mean, we got great receivers. We got pretty good running backs. I love DeMarco Murray. We got Tony. Do you realize how many fourth quarter comebacks he's got in his career? And the occasional pick. But I feel like those have been few and far between the last, like, 3 years. They lost games in 2013 because they couldn't stop anybody. Tony Romo was not a safety or a linebacker, okay? It wasn't Tony Romo's fault that the team gave up 500 yards in a total offense like 7 times. And then to make things worse, DeMarcus Ware, one of the greatest players in the history of the franchise, gone. Sean Lee, gone. I can't see them even going 8-8, can you?
No, I don't. And it's a shame because it seems like the Cowboys can never put it together on both sides of the ball. I mean, a couple years ago, they had one of the worst offensive lines in the league, and they were okay on defense. They were good enough to compete on defense, and right. Now it's a switcheroo. They have – I think it's going to be a top-10 offensive line, and now you have probably the worst defensive line in the league. So it's a shame that they just can't put it all together, and I think the key for them, they have to play keep away. They have to run the ball, and that goes against everything Jason Garrett wants to do. It goes against everything Tony Romo wants to do, and it goes against everything Scott Linehan has shown that he wants to do. Primarily, he's been a passing offense. So are they going to really stick to the run? Are they going to really depend on that offensive line who has very high potential, in my opinion? The injury to Sean Lee was huge. Who plays middle linebacker? Is it going to be that journeyman LaRondo McClain, who retired 56 times? I don't know. The defense is too beat up on all three levels. There are suspensions going on every week, it seems like. I do think Dez Bryant is primed for a big year and a contract year, but something troubling to me is that the two interior projected starters on the defensive line haven't played in one preseason game, Henry Melton and Terrell McClain. So they just haven't played, and they're too unproven on defense. They're depending on too many players on defense that haven't played football in 1 or 2 years.
Right.
So
right.
It's going to catch up to them. I see them going back to 5-11 like they did right when they fired Dave Campo and hired Bill Parcells. Back to square one.
I wish they would go back to square one.
Wow, you guys are very, very passionate and angry, I could tell.
Because they suck. But do they suck enough that we'll get something out of it? I mean, Kyle, we need like a number. We need like a top five draft pick.
You remember the Giants are in this division as well.
Yeah, and then you guys will go to the friggin' Super Bowl.
Eli Manning. Let me ask you.
Let's talk about your team, Dr. G. Before we talk about your team, because this is the time now where they need like a top five. We need like a Troy Aikman pick. That's what we need. We need a bottom out like 1988 is what we need, Kyle. Broke my heart to see Tom Landry forget half his players' names, but they needed a bottom out like they did in 1988. Because we need a top five pick.
Yeah, that's the problem with the Cowboys, because they're always in that 8-8 range, so they never get a true elite player.
Yeah.
They're never winning games. You know, they're never making the playoffs and, you know, having late first round picks, which is considered a good thing because you're winning games. So they're in that 8-8 window, and they're aging on offense, you know, with Romo Witten. There are too many question marks for me. The thing is, if Jason Garrett was fired after last season, I think Johnny Manziel would have been the pick, because you start over with a new head coach, you start over with a new quarterback. I think that would have been the right pick. But since they brought back Garrett, they didn't have a choice. They had to pass on Manziel, because it doesn't show that they would have been committed to Jason Garrett. So I think they made the right choice there. But I think, you know, the running game is going to be a big factor. They have to run the ball and stay committed to it, because they have to keep that defense off the field. They have to.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Because you have a quarterback who likes to throw the ball. He's very consistent. I would say he's fairly consistent. I don't know. I could still see them going 8-7 and then losing week 17 like they do every time.
You know, if the Cowboys were just middle of the pack on defense, heck, if they were like 20th in total defense, I think they make the playoffs. But they are that bad on defense, and they are going to be pretty good on offense, but they're so porous on defense that it's going to keep them out.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Now, you sit here, Dr. G, and bitch and moan about your team, but when was the last time, honestly, and you've got talent on this team, when was the last time a Giant team truly stunk? Been a long time. You've survived with good coaching and consistency on both sides of the ball. Now, I will say this, 2014, your offensive line is not great.
No. That's the problem.
But why is Eli not adapting? Maybe he is dumb. But I mean, this whole thing, I don't think he is. My nickname for him has always been the Hillbilly Assassin. Maybe because not being that bright in 2-minute drills has worked for you, but I don't know. But is really this whole, oh my God, he can't figure out this new scheme? I mean.
Well, he's trying to get used to, you know, new players. New skill players, but I think the other problem is in this league, and he's not like a you know, Michael Vick, or you know, he can't really move that well. If you're not protected by your offensive line, it's forcing you to do things that you're just not able to, you know, he's not able to do.
Right.
And you have a lot of pressure on him. And don't listen, Eli could take a hit with the best of them. But I think the problem is, if he doesn't get that protection, this new system isn't going to work. And I don't know if he feels confident in his protection. And that's a problem. And that's the problem that I see. I mean, I'm not sure why, because we're obviously recording the show and I'm not watching, why he only threw 4 passes tonight. I thought he was going to have much more a bigger chance to be in there long enough to see if something could click. He did have a nice drive at the end of the last game that he put a nice drive together. So you thought maybe he could build upon that. I mean, I'm looking at the stats. Victor Cruz didn't even have a catch tonight.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm not really sure if he's clicking with McAdoo or not.
What do you think, Kyle?
I think they're a team in transition. I think there's a lot of overturn on offense and defense. And I could see them as a team where they start off slow, but by the end of the year, they just start to get it. You know, Eli just looks uncomfortable right now. You don't want him to press, I think, because that's when he gets into making his mistakes. He throws a lot of interceptions if he does. So I think he needs to be surrounded by a consistent running game. Rashad Jennings, and then they draft Andre Williams also.
Williams, yeah. Andre Williams, I think, is going to have a good year. I really believe that. Tonight he even had 5 carries, 44 yards. He's had a pretty good preseason. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be an asset to the running game. I just, again, it's just a matter of Eli being comfortable. You know, remember, these guys also practice a lot. He could come out the first game of the season and have a great game. You just never know. I doubt it. I think he's still going to struggle a little bit, but I don't know. It's going to be an interesting season. I, as a Giants fan, I don't even know what to say. I think you have to be happy if they're eight at this point.
I like Jennings, though. I think he's going to be your starter. I think Andre Williams will be maybe take some third down snaps, but I think Jennings is your starter. That's my opinion.
Now, are you just saying that because he's on your fantasy team?
I've never heard of that before. What? I can't hear you. Hang up. What? No. I think it's all right. So do we all like the Eagles? Are they the lesser of four evils?
Yep. 10-6.
Yeah. They're going to, I mean,
I hate even having to say it.
I know, but that's what we do here, Dr. G. We try to be as I typed under your list. I typed Giants, that you are the Giants winning the division. Not going to have the.
What are you on drugs?
Are you all right? All right. Okay. Now, Kyle, you have your six teams picked. G, you still have a wild card team left.
You know, so do I, actually. I'm going to go with the Bears.
Okay. I don't think that's better than somebody who picks the Vikings. All right. So there you go. I think
Jay Cutler will get them back on track.
Okay.
Please.
I like, I'm going to jump it on Chad Campbell's bandwagon. I like the Falcons to grab that last wild card spot. All right, so for the six teams in the NFC, G, you have this is not order, this is just six teams. Seahawks, Packers, Eagles. Wait, did I type that right? Seahawks, Packers, Eagles, Saints are your division winners, and your wild cards are Niners and Bears.
Right.
I have Niners, Saints, Packers, Eagles, and my two wild cards are Seahawks, Falcons. Kyle, you have Seahawks, Saints, Packers, Eagles, and your wild cards are Niners and Vikings. All right. Who plays in the NFC Championship, and who is playing the Broncos in Super Bowl 49? Dr. G.
Wow. Well, I definitely like the Seahawks.
Okay. We'll get back to you. Kyle, what's your NFC championship and who goes to Super Bowl 49?
I have the 49ers going to New Orleans, and I have the Saints as your NFC champions.
Wow. Okay. I have the Seahawks going to Lambeau Field and losing to the Packers.
Wow.
So my Super Bowl 49, Broncos-Packers. Your Super Bowl 49, Kyle, Broncos Saints. Well, what a fun Super Bowl. What a pinball. What a Madden Super Bowl that would be.
Yes, sir.
All right, Dr. G.
I like the Seahawks and the and Green Bay as well. And I'm actually going to say that Green Bay is going to pull it out.
All right, so you like the – okay. So you and I have the same Super Bowl. You and I have Packers, Broncos, and Kyle has Saints, Broncos. All right. Mr. Forchetti, who wins Super Bowl 49?
It's going to be a different uniform for Peyton Manning, but it's going to be the same outcome. The Saints put all of the Spygate stuff behind them, all the suspensions from Sean Payton, and they get their second Super Bowl ring for Sean Payton and Drew Brees. So the Saints beat the Broncos in Arizona. Super Bowl 49.
Okay.
Okay.
Dr. G? You're the same with me. You have Broncos Packers.
I'm going to say same thing for Payton. I think Payton is the best or the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. But it's so funny because he blows his brother away in the regular season, but he does, for some reason he doesn't have that pedigree when it comes to the playoffs like his brother. So I'm going to go with the Packers.
Wow, you stole my thunder. Because I also believe that it will be Packers-Broncos, and I think Aaron Rodgers lifts his second Lombardi trophy.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree with...
I have to be honest with you guys. I did most of this analyzing on this tonight. That's not what I had picked before going into the
You know what it is for me? Let's talk a couple minutes about Peyton Manning, then we'll do our league MVPs, and then we'll wrap up. Peyton Manning... You know what it is? I'm going to use Major League Managers as an example to compare the two. Peyton Manning is like Bobby Valentine. Eli Manning is like Joe Torre. Peyton Manning is an X and O guy. He's a brilliant quarterback and knows defenses and can win games like that. He knows defenses. He knows how to run an offense statistically He knows how to process defenses. He knows X's and O's. Eli throws a hell of a lot of picks. But when it comes to brass tacks and it comes to nutting up and getting it done, Eli's resume is incredible. Bobby Valentine and Joe Torre are the same kind of managers, and that would like that. I've always said that when it comes to paper and pencil, Bobby Valentine is a better manager than Joe Torre. But Joe Torre has more world championships because sometimes you got to throw the playbook out the window and go with your gut. Peyton Manning never goes with his gut in a playoff game. He, by hook or by crook, his way or the highway works, and I think a lot of times his stubbornness leads to his downfall. And when it comes to the Super Bowl, you don't always win with X's and O's. And, I don't want to say his team gave up against the Seahawks, but boy, they should not have gotten lambasted like that. No. I don't think they'll lose that bad to Green Bay, but
no, it'll be a closer game.
But Aaron Rodgers is that kind of guy too. He's a guts guy. That's just how. That's my opinion. That was always my analysis between Peyton and Eli, like Joe Torre and Bobby Valentine. And I use that example because they were in the 2000 World Series and it was easy to analyze them. All right, that's just my take. What do you think, Kyle? Do you kind of agree with my thinking? Peyton's a number cruncher. Eli's a think on your feet.
I think it has some validity. I think a question that needs to be asked is how are you comparing players? You know, if you're just comparing player versus player, I think Peyton is, you know, clearly the superior player. But if you go team by team, you know, what team was the player playing on at the time? You have to go with Eli and the Giants. They were on a better all-purpose team that just got the job done. They were able to rush the quarterback. Eli made plays when he needed to. He didn't put up the greatest stats in the playoffs, but he did enough to win, and eventually that got them a ring. So if you're comparing player to player, it's Peyton, but if you're comparing team to team, it's got to be Eli.
Good point.
Yeah. All right. Who's the MVP? Kyle.
Of the regular season?
Yeah.
Just because he missed so much of last year, and they go from having all the struggles they did last year to winning their division and, you know, making a run in the playoffs. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to put up some serious stats, and I think it's going to be a nice bounce back year for him. He's finally healthy. I think Green Bay is going to be consistent throughout the year. So I have Aaron Rodgers winning the regular season MVP.
Mother, son of a bitch. Everybody's taking my thunder this year. I like Aaron Rodgers to win the MVP too. G?
Same here.
God, Jesus.
That.
Why don't you all pick the Panthers to win the Super Bowl or something?
Or Minnesota.
No. If you had win the Super Bowl, I'll buy you.
You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to come out. So listen, you could go with Peyton. I would say, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning second. I mean, or you could say, you know, it'll be one of those two guys.
Mm.
Unless Tom Brady really, just has one of those last hurrahs and, you know, I don't see it. I don't think he has enough playmakers right now. But, Peyton and Aaron do. So, but I just like Aaron a little bit better. I think if he's healthy, he's going to have a great year. And that's why I picked the Green Bay to win the Super Bowl.
Kyle, if the Vikings win the Super Bowl, I'll buy you five Abe Leibowitzes.
In the same day.
Yeah, I'm going to make you. Yeah, your whole regimen, you're out the window, kid. Oh. You're going to have to eat 50 gallons of whey protein to get back into your shape when I'm done with you.
That's a lot of calories. I'll tell you what, though. When you look at Seattle and Denver last year, correct me if I'm wrong, they were both the number one seeds last year, right?
Yes.
I think that was the first time since 2003 that two number one seeds ended up playing each other in the Super Bowl. So crazy things happen in the playoffs. There's always some crazy upset that nobody sees coming.
Yep.
So I would just say expect the unexpected. You know, that's a great thing about the NFL.
Yep. No, you're right.
No, you're right.
I think 300%. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Let the season commence. Of course, 1 week from tonight as we're recording will be the defending world champions against at least two of the three of us picking next year's world champ or this year's world champion. Packers, Seahawks from CenturyLink starts the season. And then let's take a look at our let's see who week one is. Let's talk about week one. Well, not totally. We got to get out of here before this show gets too long. Week one, I know the Cowboys take on San Francisco at home. And Dr. G, I think you start on Monday night. If I am not mistaken, I believe, yes, you're one of the doubleheader games to open the year. You are at Ford Field against Kyle's Super Bowl pick from 3 years ago. Why did that not change? Oh, there we go, week one. The Detroit Lions. So there you go. So the Lions and Giants to open the season, and then the Cowboys open at home against the Niners. Here's the week one schedule for anybody who cares. Green Bay's at Seattle. And then on Sunday, first week, Buffalo at Chicago, New Orleans at Atlanta, Cincinnati at Baltimore, Jacksonville at Philadelphia, Washington at Houston, Cleveland at Pittsburgh, Minnesota at St. Louis. Well, that's why they'll start 1-0, Kyle, because they're playing the Rams. Tennessee at Kansas City, New England at Miami, Oakland at the Meadowlands to take on the Jets, San Francisco at Dallas, Carolina at Tampa Bay. The NBC game at night is Colts-Broncos. That's a good game. And then the doubleheader Monday night, the way to open the season, the Giants at Ford Field to take on the Lions, and San Diego is at Arizona. Kyle Forchetti, you're the man. Great job. Pleasure.
It's been a pleasure being back with you guys.
You're the best. And Kyle will be joining us probably every other week during the season, give us his analysis of how things look so far as the season progresses. And maybe we'll do a show live from Harold's New York Deli in Edison as we're eating the Abe Leibowitz with Teddy Bridgewater's winning the Super Bowl MVP. No, that's not going to happen. All right. Kyle, it's been a pleasure. Dr. G, we'll be back in a couple weeks. The night of week one. Yep, night of week one. We'll bring back Joel Barnhart. Joel will join us because we'll be pretty much towards the end of the regular season of baseball. We'll talk about postseason and his Tigers and your Yankees played this week. Jabba Chamberlain looks like a prison guard. But and maybe we'll take some calls again. Maybe we'll take some baseball calls only that night. We'll see. For Kyle Forchetti and the Doctor, I'm Scott Criscolo. Thanks for kicking the extra point. There'll be a lot of them this season in weird yard markers. That's the way NFL likes their rules. Talk to you 2 weeks.
See ya. Views of the water straight from a page of your favorite author. And the weather's so breezy. Man, why can't life always be this easy? She in the mirror dancing so sleazy. I get a call like, where are you, Yeezy? And try to hit you with the old wafty. Till I get flashed by the paparazzi. Damn, these niggas got me. I hate these niggas more than a Nazi.
As I recall, I know you love to show off. But I never thought that you would take it this far. What do I know?
Flashing lights.
What do I know?
I know it's been a while, sweetheart. We hardly talk. I was doing my thing. I know I was fair, baby. Hey, baby. Lately, you've been all on my brain. And if somebody would have told me a month ago, frontin' oh, yo, I wouldn't wanna know. If somebody would have told me a year ago, it'd go get this difficult. Kinda like Katrina with no FEMA. Like Martin with no Gina.
like a flight with no visa. First class with the seat back, I still see ya. In my past, you on the other side of the glass of my memories museum. I'm just saying, hey Mona Lisa, come home. You know you can't roam
as
without
I
Caesar.
Recall, I know you love to show off.